Waited to the last minute to do your gift shopping? No problem. Head over to giftingmap.com today to see the amazing curated collection of gifts and gifting ideas that the team has assembled for you. Giftingmap.com, your map to great gifting. You're listening to The Break on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's Brian Barrett.
All right, joining us now from SB Nation, it's Christian D'Andrea. Christian, I believe your Twitter, is it at Train Island?
It is at Train Island, that's correct.
All right, awesome. What's the origin of that?
It is a very obscure reference to an old Adult Swim cartoon called Frisky Dingo. About every other year, someone gets it, points it out, and they immediately become my best friend on Twitter.
I got you. All right, so getting to that game last night, Tennessee, of course, loses to Houston 34-17. I get Mariota had the accuracy last night, 22 of 23, and threw for 300 yards and whatnot. But if you look at it on the season, he's 29th in passing yards per game. His team is now 5-6. He's never put up big numbers. In the past two seasons, he doesn't have one game where he's had three touchdown passes. Christian, at what point are we going to say, okay, maybe Marcus Mariota isn't a franchise quarterback that Tennessee is hoping he eventually becomes? We're 4 years into it.
I think the issue with Mariota is that, A, you're right, he hasn't been able to follow up on those strong first two seasons. And B, he has fought off these nagging small injuries that seem to never really go away. He doesn't miss that many games overall. But there's always some malady with him, like an elbow injury that's affecting his accuracy, or a leg injury that's affecting the way he scrambles. He never seems to be 100%, and I think that's the biggest tease for Titans fans out there, because when you see what he can do at his best, he is a dynamic, explosive quarterback. Everyone thought he turned the corner when he beat the Eagles back in Week 4 with 344 passing yards. And the next week he'll come back and he'll throw for 129, or the Ravens throw for 117. His complete lack of consistency is just derailing this all-pro talent. And yeah, you're right. If you're the Titans, you got to wonder when you start looking for that franchise quarterback. I don't think you need to hit the panic button just yet and pour a first-round pick into it, but I do think this is a year where day two, day three, Tennessee starts looking at quarterback prospects that can come in, not only be an effective backup, because Lord knows the Titans need it. Blaine Gabbert could certainly stand to be upgraded. but also you get a guy who can maybe be a developmental prospect. Your Kirk Cousins to Robert Griffin III is a guy who can eventually rise up and usurp a young starter.
All right, Christian, so what do you do if you're Tennessee? Do you say, okay, well, let him play out the fifth-year option, don't offer him an extension, and go from there, see what he does next year?
That's a good question. I think there's still enough of a market that if you needed to trade Marcus Mariota, a quarterback-hungry league would go after it, so long as he doesn't turn into Blake Bortles. I think Mariota is not quite at that level where he'll have to settle for a three-year extension. But, yeah, I don't see – it's the same problem you have with Jameis Winston, where you're dealing with a guy who can come through in flashes. And maybe the Titans look at a guy like Winston and say, well, at least Mariota isn't this terrible off-field headache, and we can still work with him, we can still improve him. Let's sign him, let's keep him around, because things could be so much worse. I mean, obviously, this is a team that knows that. They drafted Jake Locker. They had to see that entire experiment play out. So I think given Tennessee's history, given the state of the league, given the lack of real options out there who could push a guy like Mariota, I think he does get extended. I think guys like him just don't typically see free agency except for rare cases. And we will see not a record setter, but a modest extension from Mariota sometime before he plays that fifth year in his contract, sometime before the 2019 season goes into effect.
We're chatting with Christian D'Andrea from SB Nation. Follow him on Twitter. It's at Train Island. Okay, specifically that game last night. It's a 14-10 game, and you have a 4th-and-1 from the 3-yard line if you're the Tennessee Titans. I don't blame them for going for it. I thought it was the right move. But, Christian, you have a 250-pound running back in Derrick Henry. Deion Lewis, you just gave $20 million to in the offseason to bring him over to help solidify your running game. How is the play call from Tennessee to give it to Luke Stocker, the up back, a tight end, who that was his first carry of the season? It's just, it's perplexing to me that that's what they drew up.
Completely baffling. Just an awful, awful, awful look for Mike Vrabel. I can understand a little trepidation in his running game. Deion Lewis has been inconsistent. Derrick Henry has been typically stuck in first gear all season. He's just having an awful year. But like you said, Luke Stocker, I understand if you're trying to throw some trickeration into your game plan, and you want to hit a little used guy, if this is a go-to running play, right? And if they want to trick him, maybe sneak Luke Stocker off the tackle, throw him the pass in the end zone. Maybe free up a tight end and down the middle of the end zone, throw him the ball. If you want to get fancy, do it with your arm. If you want to get weird, do it with your arm. Don't give a guy a plodding big H-back. Granted, 253 pounds, I understand why you would want to get him there, but at the same time, just a bizarre play for Mike Vrabel and something that's not going to inspire confidence in what's already been a frustrating first season in Nashville.
Yeah, Christian, and you look on the other side of that thing, and now the Texans, after starting 0-3, they've won 8 consecutive games, and I get it. They don't light up the scoreboards or anything along those lines. Clearly, they've made an emphasis to go to the running game. It shocked me to realize they were 4th in the NFL in rushing yards per game. But when you look at this Texans team, are they a legitimate threat to at least get to an AFC title game? Are they good enough to get to an AFC title game?
I'm not so sure that they are. I'm still a little bit concerned about Deshaun Watson, what he's going to do against a good or great defense. You saw him against even the Jaguars back in Week 7. The Jaguars defense chipping away, beginning to fall apart. And even they were able to limit Watson to 139 passing yards, 50% completion rate. That is something that's not going to hold up against the team, even with a medium or mediocre defense, but a great offense. They're going to get outscored in the playoffs if he can't really free himself, become the player that was that amazing dynamic rookie last fall. And we have seen him come back to that in flashes, but again, it's been against more mediocre teams. He's done again against Washington, against the Titans, against the Dolphins. His biggest performances come against bad defenses, and he's not going to see many of those in the playoffs. As much as I want to believe the young, exciting quarterback out of Clemson, I don't think he's there yet. I think the Texans are, unfortunately, still the Texans. They're a team that is, you can ride to the divisional round, but probably not much further.
Christian Giandra from SB Nation is with us, and you can follow him on Twitter. It's at Train Island. Okay, in that same division, you have a Colts team that is red hot. Andrew Luck, 7 straight games now with at least 3 touchdown passes. He's been on fire. Christian, do you expect them to get in to get that 6th seed now? Because I assume you believe the Chargers obviously going to get the other wild card spot, or maybe the Chiefs if the Chargers end up beating them. But do you expect the Colts to get a spot?
I do. I think part of it is a function of the rest of the AFC right now. There's not a lot of competition for that 6th spot. The Dolphins are fading fast. The Ravens, I like what they're doing. I think Lamar Jackson is that team's future, but I think there's too much instability along the offense for them to make a real push. And the Broncos have a super, super easy schedule. But the best team out of that group is the Colts. They have Andrew Luck playing like Andrew Luck again. He's beating okay teams. I think that is the biggest question, is that who are these teams that Indianapolis has beaten along the way? And really it tops off at Washington. They beat the Titans. They beat the Dolphins. They beat some of the other mediocre teams in the AFC that are going to be pushing for that 60. That's good. But at the same time, they don't really have that affirming win that proves that they are back all the way, that Andrew Luck's back all the way. And they might not really have a chance to get that as the end of the season winds down. Their schedule from here on out goes Jaguars, falling apart, won't have Leonard Fournette. At the Texans, which is going to be a tough game, but like I said, the Texans might be better on paper than they are on the field. The Cowboys, which would be tough, and then they finish off with Giants and Titans. Giants and Titans might not be playing for anything at that point in the season. I think their path is there for the Colts to get to the playoffs. I think the biggest threat might actually be the Broncos, though, just because the Broncos' schedule is so easy.
Yeah, that is true. They haven't beaten anybody, but hey, I guess they're not blowing games to stupid teams like we've seen too many teams do through the years. Hey, Christian, you mentioned Lamar Jackson, the rookie quarterback in Baltimore. What about the rookie quarterback in Cleveland, Baker Mayfield? Since Hugh Jackson's left, he's turned into a different player. Should we put those two things together or what?
Yes, you absolutely, absolutely should. And it's not just you can look at the stats and see. You can also hear Baker Mayfield talking about it, his disdain for Hugh Jackson. And you can tell he's a passionate guy who's trying to be as diplomatic about it as possible. But it is just like seething through clenched teeth how he knows Hugh Jackson was just not the right coach for him. And now Haley's gone, Jackson's gone. It's Freddie Kitchens running that offense in Cleveland, and he has done a great job of opening up the Browns playbook. Sometimes it doesn't work. Sometimes you dial up a throwback pass to Baker Mayfield that turns out to be one of the easiest interceptions anyone's ever had. But most of the time, it's Mayfield running out and finding new targets. His past two games before this week, he targeted at least 9 different guys. He'd never done that under Hugh Jackson. Instead of just spamming the ball to Jarvis Landry time and time again, he's making new targets into effective players. He's turned Breshad Perriman into a legitimate NFL target. That's something the Ravens couldn't do. I feel like that might be his biggest accomplishment. But he's also getting a ton out of Duke Johnson out of the backfield. David Njoku is really starting to live up to that first-round potential he showed off last season. Really just taking the limiter off Baker Mayfield by firing Hugh Jackson has done wonders for the Browns, and all of a sudden they are looking like in 2019, this could possibly be a playoff team.
Yeah, Christian, before I let you go, I got about a minute left to work with here. And speaking of that 2019, who do you think should be the Browns coach in 2019?
Oh, boy. You know, that is a great question. Well, we all know Greg Williams is getting all these offers, so they would be foolish to let him go.
Yeah, it's 7. He had 7, so.
Yeah. I think the most interesting candidate is Lincoln Riley. I think the Browns need a fresh among fresh starts. And a guy like Riley, who will keep Mayfield happy, which is great because we see what a happy Mayfield can do. We're seeing him really level up now that Hugh Jackson's gone. He's got a coach. He is giving him a little more freedom. You bring Lincoln Riley up from Oklahoma, the guy who built Mayfield into a Heisman Trophy winner, and you take care of your biggest problem. You can hire the coordinators around him to cover any of his gaps. And let's face it, you're the Browns. You need to make a splash. And it's not like rolling the dice and crapping out is going to cost you that much. You're the Browns. You can't go much further when it comes to sinking.
All right, that's Christian DeAndrea. You can follow him on Twitter at Train Island. Covers the NFL for SB Nation. Christian, thank you so much for the time this morning, man. We really appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having me on. I'm looking forward to doing it again.
All right, sounds good. All right, when we come back, I'll tell you who I believe should be the Browns head coach. You're listening to The Break, and we're right here on SB Nation Radio.